I speak to the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There's a pretty famous quote that Gandhi said about Christians and to Christians. Gandhi said, "I like your Christ. I just don't like your Christians. For your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Which begs the question, what does it mean to be like Christ? And what does it mean to not be like Christ? We have finally come to the final Sunday in the long season after Pentecost. If you remember, we started this season when it was still a little bit chilly in spring and early summertime. And we have been in it through all of the heat of summer and now in the coolness of fall, and we are at our final last Sunday in the season after Pentecost. Next week, we will start the new church year. The church year resets every Advent 1. We'll celebrate the new year for the church, and we will begin the season of Advent, which is a season of anticipation and waiting for the second coming of Christ. Technically, Advent ends on December 25th. Every church ends at a day early on December 24th when we celebrate Christmas Eve. But Advent officially ends with the new season coming in of Christmas, the season where we welcome this infant baby Jesus who is born incredibly vulnerable and unable to take care of themselves. But for one final Sunday, we're in this long season after Pentecost called Ordinary Time in the church. And this particular reading from the Gospel of Matthew is the last teaching discord in the Gospel of Matthew. It comes directly after last week's parable of the talents, which is the last parable in Matthew's gospel. And the parable of the talents is the last public teaching discord that Jesus gives. And then this reading comes directly after it. And most theologians believe that the parable of the talents, where the master gave an unprecedented amount of money to people, some of them went and exchanged it and kind of bet it on markets, and they came back and they were able to double their return, and one person buried it. That parable of the talents is considered to be the last public teaching discord of Jesus. And then this teaching, where we have the sheep and the goat, is considered to be the last private teaching of Jesus for his disciples. The main reason theologians believe that one was public and one was private is that when you read the original Greek manuscripts, there is a change in pronouns that happens from the parable of the talents to here, this sheep and the goats being separated from one another. And so you have, this is the last official teaching of Jesus. What happens directly after this is there is a plot to kill Jesus. Jesus and his disciples go away. They're going to kind of go into the upper room at this point and begin Maundy Thursday, which is the institution of Holy Communion. Judas is going to need to go and betray Jesus because the Roman Empire doesn't know where Jesus is. Judas is going to provide them with Jesus' location. Judas is going to go and betray Jesus in just a matter of hours from this lesson. So you have this lesson of, what do we do to be like Christ? It's the last teaching that Jesus gives. And essentially, Jesus is saying that the way in which you take care of people matters greatly. Some theologians have argued that this matters as much, if not more, than your belief in Jesus. How you treat other people matters as much as if you believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus and you treat people well, that is equivalent to believing in Jesus and not treating people well. That the way in which you treat people matters greatly to your faith. And it matters so greatly that when you think of people who have really embodied this particular reading, you think of people maybe like Mother Teresa, who, when she was asked over and over and over again in all of her news presses of how she could continue her ministry in Calcutta year after year after year, seeing people in dire need year after year after year, how she could continue and not get hardness of heart, she would often quote this specific scripture. And she would say to them that when I'm caring for people on the streets of Calcutta, I am caring for Jesus in his most distressing disguise. This is her famous quote, I'm caring for Jesus in his most distressing disguise. Mother Teresa was sainted by the Catholic Church. She's the newest official saint in the Catholic Church in 2016. And the foundation that she laid in Calcutta for her ministry continues to this day. The foundation and the Mother Teresa Foundation still work to this day. But what Mother Teresa was saying when she would be quoted in newspapers and in articles and in her own writing and in books that are published about her, when she talks about caring for Jesus in the most distressing disguise, is she's talking about the Imago Dei, which goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, which says that we are all equally created in the image of God. Every single one of us has bits of God in us, and we are all equally created in the image of God. There is not one person who is more created in the image of God, and there's not one person who is less created in the image of God. But this reading here that we have today from Matthew, I find difficult. Not because it's overly complicated to understand, it's not. Jesus lays it out pretty clearly. Take care of one another. If somebody is hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they need clothes, give them clothes. It's pretty self-explanatory of what Jesus is wanting us to do. But the reason that I find this reading hard is because I just find it hard to live up to. I'm going to be honest with you all. Sometimes I have hardness of heart. Sometimes people come to me and they're asking for things from the church, or I see people when I'm walking through the city of Boston or Worcester and they're asking for money, and there's just a part of me that just doubts their story a little bit. And I just am not quite as compassionate as I should be. And the reason this reading is hard for me is because I want to live up to the ideals of this reading, and yet so often I fail. If you've ever talked to somebody who isn't Christian, but who knows something about Christianity, who maybe could quote you a couple of the rules of Christianity, maybe would say things like Jesus told you to love people as yourself, and you ask them what their biggest challenge was with Christians, they would probably quote you what Gandhi said, but in their own slightly different words. They would probably say that their biggest challenge with Christianity is that Christians are hypocrites. They say one thing, they preach one thing, and then they go and do something else. And the truth is, yeah, that's true. We do that. I do that. I come up here and I preach something, and that is not always the life that I lead after church. Sometimes I fall short of my ideals. And frankly, I fall short of my ideals more often than I live up to them. It's not that I don't try. It's not that I don't care. But sometimes when the harshness of the world meets a compassionate heart, sometimes you fall short of your ideals. I think the really big challenge that we have in Christianity isn't that we preach one thing and then do another. It's that we preach one thing and hold that to a standard of perfection that no one is able to obtain. And then when people fall short, we are less compassionate with them than we would be with ourselves when we fall short of ideals. I think what happens in Christianity is we often don't give people the grace and care and mercy that they need when they fall short of their ideals as we give ourselves. We often struggle to see the God in people. And that's because sometimes it is just easier to see God in some people than it is in others. Some people come to us and we're able to easily and quickly see the God in them. And other times people come to us in a pretty distressing disguise and we don't see the God in them quite as quickly. But this is the final and last week of the season after Pentecost called Ordinary Time. Kind of the theme of that time is ordinary time, an extraordinary God. And we're going to enter, like I said, the season of Advent. The season of Advent is most often thought of as the season in preparation for Christmas. But the season of Advent is actually in preparation for the second coming of Christ. Not for the birth of Christ, but for the second coming of Christ. It's easy to confuse the two because Advent ends, like I said, with Jesus being born. And it's easy to think that we're preparing for Christmas, and in a lot of ways we are, but we're preparing for the second coming of Christ. But the thing about Advent ending with Christmas that is uniquely important, especially to this reading that we hear today, is that Jesus, in all the power of Jesus, came into the world as an incredibly vulnerable person, somebody who couldn't hold their head up, who couldn't feed themselves or clothe themselves or burp themselves, somebody who needed somebody to do every little thing for them. Jesus came in an incredibly vulnerable way. And while babies are incredibly cute, and anyone who's really seen a cute baby would tell you that, anyone who's ever dealt with a baby will tell you they're very cute for a reason. And the reason they're cute is because they are a lot of work. And they are somewhat disguised in a distressing way. There's a reason that sleep deprivation is used in torture mechanisms, and yet new moms experience sleep deprivation at the same rate. Having a baby is often very distressing. Jesus comes to us in a distressing disguise at Christmas, although cute and beautiful and wonderful, still distressing. So what we do now is when we prepare ourselves to enter into the season of Advent, the season of preparation and waiting for the second coming of Christ. I'm wondering if one of the things that we can do is look for the distressing Jesus outside of our church walls. If for the next four Sundays, starting next week, when we enter into the season of Advent, we can pause and look for a distressing Jesus outside. But know that that distressing Jesus is equally created in the image of God to us. This is the last teaching that Jesus gives in the Gospel of Matthew. Like I said, what happens here is we're at Thursday of Holy Week. He's going to go into the upper room. He's going to say the communion prayer that we typically take from. He's going to institute Holy Eucharist. He's going to wash people's feet. He's going to go into the garden and pray, and he is going to be arrested. That is essentially what happens now. This is the final teaching that Jesus leaves us with in the Gospel of Matthew. I think that there is an important lesson here. Jesus is asking us to see the God in every single person that we meet. And sometimes, like I said, that's really hard to do. So I'm wondering if we could create an Advent practice, much like a Lenten practice, an Advent practice where for just the next 4 weeks, we work really hard to see Jesus in a distressing disguise outside of our church walls. And then ask ourselves, what would we do if that was in fact Jesus standing next to us? And maybe we'll find a more compassionate answer than we would if we looked and just saw a distressing person. As we enter into the season of Advent next week and we prepare for Christmas and we light the Advent wreaths, and you'll hear when I'm back here in the second Sunday in Advent how much I despise that Advent wreath, because as a kid, it just was so painful to watch them light one after another every week, and I just wanted all four to be lit so we could finally get to Christmas and Santa and the presents, but it was a painful period of time. This week, we only have to do it for 3 weeks because Christmas Eve is on a Sunday. But this year, as we enter into the season of Advent, into the season of anticipation and waiting, can we enter into it knowing that what comes out of this, what ends the season of Advent, is a vulnerable, distressing Jesus that comes to us needing all of the care in the world. And that Jesus is present in every person outside of these doors. Amen.